ועל כן נקרס ההנהוגו והממשולו בשם מטה ומקו. Rav Nosson says this is why you find that the concept of leadership is referred to in the Torah as a stick. Kama Shikosov, as it says in Yecheskel, Matei Ois Shevet Limshoil, a stick of strength, a rod to rule with which to rule. V'chein bekama psukim, as we see in many psukim. V'zehu asher tovoino hatsoin lishtois lenoicha hatsoin, v'yechamno bevoyon lishtois. It says over there that another thing that Yaakov Avinu did was he lined up a couple of these speckled and spotted and striped sheep opposite the regular sheep, even the non-speckled, when they were drinking, so that the normal the sheep without the stars would be looking at the speckled ones, and that would affect the ones that they gave birth to would also be speckled. And so even if they themselves weren't speckled, it would cause the pure white sheep, by looking at them at the time of drinking and at the time of mating, they would also have star, you know, speckled and striped sheep. This is talking about when you have two groups of people. You have the students of the Tzaddik Emes, those who have already drank from his wells and have already received all of this light and Bira Medam and everything. Now, when additional religious Jews that want to become religious want to come to drink, from these same waters of Torah, facing the holy sheep that have already drunk, that have already been zeichet to this, and they become warmed up when they come to drink. That's the mating time. That's when they have this warmth. That these new people get warmed up with new warmth and fire, a fiery desire to serve Hashem. Berish be'esh, with sparks of fire, shall have called the flame of Hashem, lavoid Hashem Yisborach, to serve Hashem, ulespalo b'chamimus v'slavus, and to daven with a fire, with v'slavus, v'lo yelchu imoy bekeri chas v'sholom, not to serve Hashem in the freezer, not to daven a frozen shachris or a frozen mincha, b'b'chinas krirus, with a coldness, Shenim Shach mi Sitra da Amolek, which comes from the side of Amolek, Shehu Sitra de Lovon, which is the side of Lovon, Shenem Arboi Asher Korcha Baderech. It says that when Amolek came to attack the Jews, it says Asher Korcha Baderech. The word Korcha means he happened to come upon you, and the word Korcha also means he cooled you off. The Gemara compares the Jews then to a hot bath, boiling hot bath. Amolek jumped in, he cooled, even though he got burned, he cooled it off for the next guy. So this is what Amalek is all about. Amalek is the guy who takes Jews, kids, who learn in cheder, or who were brought up when they were young. They were lively, live wires, jumping around everything. And as they start getting older, teenage or more mature, suddenly they become cold fish. Where even if they do mitzvahs, they do the mitzvahs with a cold, even if they go to shul and daven shachris, it's nothing. It's nothing, it's not alive. It's with a coldness or a coolness which makes it almost ineffective. The Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh says that just like when it comes to physically bringing children into the world, the only way it could be done is if the Aver is Chai, if the person is aroused. You have the same part of the body which, when it's not aroused, can't produce children, can't do anything, and when it is, it can. The Baal Shem Tov says the same thing is with Tefillah, Shachris Min Chamariv. If your tefillah is dead, if your tefillah is without hislavus, if it's not chai, if it's not ever chai, then it can't be moiled. It doesn't. You said the same words, the same 30 pages of shachris, but it can't bring down the same results. It can't turn. It can't give produce. It can't produce unless it's chai, unless it's got that hislavus. Ki kol mi she'eino yodea minikudas v'mesanal. Because now here comes again fireworks. Rav Nosson Zal says, anybody that doesn't know this Nikuda Ha'emes, anybody that hasn't tasted this ultimate truth, afilu mishehu ish kosher, even if he's a good person, v'oyved Hashem Yisporach, he serves Hashem, Umispalel, he davens, v'oisek batoira, and he learns, avul kol avoidosoi hu bekrirus, but his avoidus Hashem is with kol, it's cold, b'lishum chiyus v'hislavus v'chamimus didusha, without fire, without warmth, ve'ein la'Hashem yizborach shi'ashua me'avoida zois, and Hashem does not get pleasure from such avoida, ki hu b'chinas shena. That kind of mitzvah is called a sleepy mitzvah. He's serving Hashem in his sleep. Serving Hashem in his sleep. Kimavur b'mokam achar ba'teira posach Rabbi Shimon b'simen samach. As Rabbi Nezal brings in a chapter on the Kutimran, a shiur that he gave on Rosh Hashanah, where Rabbi Nezal bases it on the story of Chayna Magal, where Chayna Magal is it possible for a person to sleep for 70 years? And Rabbi Nezal makes a statement in that chapter in the Kutimran, that there are Yidden that are learning and davening and going to shul and doing mitzvahs, and it's all sleepwalking, because they're doing it with a coldness as a routine. There's nothing alive in it, there's nothing vibrant, there's no fire in their davening and everything. And Rav Nosson Zal, who started out as a Litvak, Rav Nosson Zal, who came from a family, his father and his father-in-law especially were leaders in that community, a community that was very anti-Hasidim. Rav Nosson Zal once said to a person, I'll describe to you the difference between a chosid versus non-chosid. And again, he's not using the word chosid to mean every makolet that opens up that's selling chasidus. Each guy that opens up a thing and calls himself the Macha Bacha Chasidus and the Dacha Chasidus and this guy, any guy who came from some strange named town who opened up a chasidus. He's talking about chasidim, meaning the people that get up to daven v'sikin every day. He's talking about the people that daven shacharis, where you can hear every word they're saying. He's talking about people who, when they put on tefillin, it's not like a person taking saccharin tablets. It's a guy who's doing, you can tell he's holding dynamite in his hand. He's doing it with a force. Every mitzvah he does is alive. It's pulsating, it's beating. So Rav Nosson Zal says, you know what the difference between the two is? It's the difference between a hot knish and a cold knish. He says, you have a knish that's made up of dough, potatoes, salt, pepper, this, that. You could have a knish that has all of those ingredients in it, and yet the fact that it's cold, coming straight out of the fridge, you eat that and it's close to tasteless. And you take the same item and put it into the microwave or put it into the oven and warm it up. When it's hot, it's the most unbelievable tasting thing in the world. It's delicious. Rav Nosson Zal said that's a person who's davening and learning and eating kosher and this, that, but there's no heat to it. It's a cold knish. How enjoyable is a cold knish? Whereas if a person adds the warmth to it, the hislavus and the chamimus, that the tzaddik emes has to shine into a person. This tzaddik that has this nekudas emes has the ability to turn on that fire in a person, to give him the ability to do it with that kind of fire. That's a whole different story. Avol Yaakov b'chinas nekudas emes himshich toira b'chinas maklois, he draws toira in the form of these sticks. Lahaneg ho'ilam b'sichlios nifloam kwele, to lead the people, to lead the world with such unbelievable sichlios, ada sher hitzig v'tochav hasechel huamiti v'soich rehitei moichin shamischaron elov, to the point where he sticks his three spears, in a sense, into each one of his students' brains. He gives them the highest form of this akudim nekudim uvrudim, of this highest sechel, ad shekol hatzoin kodshim sheyavoyu lishtois mimeme hatoira lenoichach hatzoin hakodesh shaloi, to the point where the tzaddik emes' students, he turns them on so powerfully, to such a point where any other sheep that'll come to drink opposite them, opposite his students, yischamemu atzmom b'chamimus dikdusha, they'll find themselves turned on with this warmth of kedusha. They'll find that they're given this ability to daven and learn and serve Hashem with new fire. Rav Nosson Zal here was talking about himself. he did not look at himself as the Tzadik Emes at all. He looked at himself as the student of Rabbeinu Zal, the student of the Tzadik Emes. And he was saying that his emuna is, from what he saw that Rabbeinu Zal had shined such dynamite into him, into his brain, that even after Rabbeinu Zal passed away, anybody that came close to Rav Nosson Zal, he saw that they were turned into, each one turned into a bomb, literally a live wire, where they started davening differently and learning differently than they ever had before they met him. So he saw that Rabbeinu Zal had put into him Sechel and Moichin. He had turned him on so powerfully that not just the people that came to Rabbeinu Zal got a ticking, but even people that came to Rav Nosson Zal or to the other students of Rabbeinu Zal, you saw a change in their davening, you saw a change in, even if they were religious before, not people that came from irreligious homes, people that were Rabbonim, and yet when they came to him, they became different people. Their whole Avodas Hashem took on a whole different form with fire. The story is told about one, again, not Rav Nosson Zal, after Rav Nosson Zal, there was a shoemaker, Reb Nochum Schuster, I think it was, I forget the name, in Poland, who became Makuruv to Breslov, and he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, and he wasn't nothing, but he became Makuruv to Breslov, and as a result, he picked up on some of the things they were doing, like Tikkun Chatzos. So he used to come into the shul in Poland, Chatzos, in summertime, is let's say 3 a.m. in the morning, and in the shul there were 40, 50 non-Breslov people who were learning. Again, those were the days when men were men. When religious people got up 3 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning to learn, and you know to say the whole Sefer Tehillim before Shacharis, so one day this shoemaker turkey starts coming to shul at 3 a.m. in the morning, and they see this guy go over into a corner in the room, and he's davening, and they see tears dripping down. So there were two rabbonim in that shul. One of them was Reb Mordechai Sokolover, a dayan in the city of Sokol where he lived, and another rabbi, who were learning Bechavrus and Shul at this time, and they saw this apparition. They saw this guy coming into Shul, the shoemaker in the town starting to show up for 3 a.m. services and doing this thing. So one of them felt that they saw that he wasn't baloney. They saw that there's something true about this. They had to find out what's going on here. So one of them approached him and asked him, "Can I ask you what you're doing here?" So he said to him, "Yes, it's very sad. What are you crying about? What's going on here?" So he said to him, "You know, it's very obvious to me. You people are rabbis. You people are learned in Torah and everything. So you don't miss the fact that the Hashem's Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, and the fact that the Shekhinah is in gold, that kind of stuff, it doesn't bother you that much because you have your Torah to learn. But me, I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a Talmud Chacham. I don't have Torah. And I've been told that Hashem's house is in destruction, everything. So I come here every night to cry, to say Tikkun Chatzos is crying." They took one look at him and they said, "Where did you get this? Who told you about?" Because suddenly they saw that he was more religious, that they didn't know about a Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he did know about a Churban Beis HaMikdash. So they asked him, "Where did you hear about this?" They found out. And these two Rabbonim went to the same source that he went to at the time, Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter Zal, whoever it was, and they became leaders in Breslov of that generation. This is the 1900s. Famous names, Rav Mordechai, in other words, it's known that they became a Kuruv through the shoemaker. Why? Because they saw that despite everything that they had over him, they were knishes that had everything in the world in it, but he was hot and they were cold, and they understood that there's a difference, period. And that if they could add to themselves what he had, they would reach a shleimus that would make a world of difference in their whole frumkeit and everything. This is what the Baal Shem Tov came to put into Yiddishkeit. That's why he said this thing about Eivor Chai versus Eivor Meis. How? Exactly.
And by them. Also, and the behalf of the people who don't have enough water, that's where they connect better to people who are not, you know, satisfied. And they can learn Torah all day and be completely satisfied.
Sure.
How do these cold conditions who don't convert to the warmth, I mean, how do they can hear this and read this, how do they understand their avodah? They say, all right, so not everybody's meant to be hot, or we're cold, or we're...
I'm not, each one could have different teirutzim for it. But Rabbi Nezal told a story in Sipurei Maaseis. There's a very, very interesting nekuda here, which I heard from Rabbi Michal. There's a story in Sipurei Maaseis called Maisa Mirav Uben Yochid, a story about a rabbi who had an only child, and this only child was learning. He was very religious. Everything was great. He got married. The father set him up in the attic where, again, he studied Torah all day and night, and everything was... And yet this son felt that something was missing. He felt a certain lack of shleim. No, I'm sorry. Before, I have to make sure. Give me a second. Rabbi Nezal tells the story, you know, where he says that, this, as we said, and he said that this boy felt something missing, and he didn't know what it was. And Rabbi Nezal goes on to say that he didn't feel a beauty in his learning and in his davening. He felt that something was imperfect about it. And he told this to two friends, Bnei Nurim, two young friends that he had. Every word here is a bullet. You'll see in a minute. Every word here is measured. It doesn't say two friends, it says Bnei Nurim. And they gave him advice that he should go to a certain tzaddik. And Rabbi Nezal says, this son of the rabbi, had done a certain mitzvah through which he had gotten to be the Moir HaKoton. And Rabbi Nezal tells later on, the fact that he was the Moir HaKoton meant that if he would have connected with the tzaddik, Mashiach would have come. Because he's the Moir HaKoton, the tzaddik is the Moir HaGodol, if the two connect, Mashiach has to come right away. There's a few very important points here. Number one, that the Meforshim point out. It says that he did a mitzvah and that got him to the point of Moir HaKoton. The Meforshim here point out that there are many people who think that the thing that's going to affect the major change in their life is another page of Gemara, another page of this. The pages are very important. But between the two, the Gemara itself says, V'loi ha-medrash ha-ikar ela ha-maisa. The main thing isn't the learning, it's the action. It's doing the mitzvah. And if you do the mitzvah, if a person does a mitzvah sometimes the right way, suddenly an alarm goes off in heaven, ding, 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 ding. The guy just jumped up 400 levels, and now we're ready to show him the real thing. Not the gas, not the watered-down version. We're ready to show him the real thing. That's point number one. This issue of doing a mitzvah, which again is one of the differences, one of the things they make fun about Hasidim is, Hasidim are into mitzvahs. Normal people are into learning and seichel and everything. The regular people are into learning and everything. Hasidim got into this whole nutty thing about doing mitzvahs and stuff. Putting tefillin on people, all kinds of nutty things like getting people to keep, you know, the mitzvah bit. Point number one. Number two, it takes us, Bnei Nurim. Rabbi Nezal said there's a difference between older people and younger people. An older person who's set in his ways isn't interested in hearing. If you tell him you're a cold knish, he isn't even interested in hearing it. Even if it's true, he's old already and he's set in his ways and he's not shopping for anything better. So even if you're going to tell him, listen, I have a chance here, he's going to look at you in the face and he's going to give you a blank look in a sense because you think that he should be the most excited person in the world. Because he's old, he's unexcited. Whereas young people, there's more of a chance that if you'll show him something better, you know. And then there's that third point here, that how much of a zchus it takes for a person to know that he's incomplete when he's incomplete. One of the biggest problems that people have, and especially Jews, Yidden, who are the Am Hashem and the people with Seichel and everything, their biggest problem is that they think they know it all before they know it all. It's the problem with kids and it's the problem with adults and everybody, that they're ready to give themselves smichas and call themselves rabbis and tzaddikim and everything before Hashem called them up on the phone yet and gave them the approval, gave them his haskama. And as a result of that, a person who convinces himself that his Torah is perfect and his tefillah is perfect, you can't help such a person. It's only that Jew that zochet to have the schus. There's a small percentage of people that are zochet to realize that it's not perfect. That even after they come close to Yiddishkeit, they know that somehow I'm davening, and I read about tzaddikim, how when he davened his whole... and I see that that's not me. I see things that are written in the Gemara about a tzaddik, how when he davens, and I know it's not true about me. So there must be something missing. There must be something wrong here. I better go look for it. Or if somebody's going to tell me something new, I better keep my ears open to it, because maybe that's what I'm missing. Maybe that's the difference between me and the rabbis in the Gemara. Or me and the other, the Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, that I read about stories about Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, things they did, and I see that I'm nowhere near there.
What's the source of this source? Where did this source come from?
Some of it has to do with Neshamos. The Meforshim on this story in Sipurei Maaseis touch on this. That on one hand, some of it has to do with doing a mitzvah. He did a mitzvah, he became Moir HaKoton, and then the whole ball started rolling. Sometimes it could be a certain mitzvah that somebody did, or that a parent did, or a grandparent did, that doesn't show up in their lives yet, and it shows up in the next generation, or in the third generation. That their son is zocher to come close to the tzaddik emes, and he doesn't know, and they don't know what triggered it off. They could think, sometimes a person will daven a tefillah where they'll spill their heart out completely to Hashem, and nothing happens. The person leaves this world, and nothing ever came of it. And they don't know that something great came of it. They don't know that as a result of their tefillah, their son or their grandchild is going to get to a place where they never got to. You know, a certain...
Funny, you think that you do a mitzvah, so you have a sense of fulfillment. In this case, he did a mitzvah and he realized his yearning and his emptiness.
Because that's the biggest fulfillment. The greatest knowledge, tachlis hayedi is, asher lo neda. The smartest person is the one who knows that he doesn't know. The one who knows that compared to Hashem, what do I know? What am I, nuts? I convinced myself that I know something? You understand? That's exactly it. As a result of the mitzvah, he was zoicha to come to the realization that he's lacking. And that's an unbelievable privilege. If someone can, instead of somebody convincing you how good you are and how perfect you are, somebody could show, and that's what these sforim do. These sforim paint a picture of Yiddishkeit that you got to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I see how he talks about tzitzis, and I see how I put on tzitzis, and it's two different worlds. And I got a feeling that he's closer to the truth than I am. I got a feeling that his way of doing it is impresses Hashem a lot more than me. So then I better find out where he got this from. Where's all this coming from? Where are we? Where are we? Ki ikar chamimus digdusho al yedei tnuas hasechel huemes. Rav Nosson Zal makes a super statement here, which he's quoting from Likutei Moran, Kemoi Shekosu Vatoira Atika B'Simen Chof Aleph. Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Chof Aleph, speaks about Hislavus. And he says that here again, they got it all wrong. There's these people who think that the true Hasidim, where do they get the Hislavus from? The answer is, it's Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker Black or Johnny Walker Red. They drink a couple of those in the morning, and that's what gets them up for Chatzos, and that's what gets them up for this. But in the brains department, if you're a chassid, the brains are elsewhere. The brains aren't to be found. Rabbeinu Zal says in this chapter in Likutei Moran, you know where the Hislavus comes from? You know where the Hislavus in the heart comes from? We know if you study science, you know what causes heat? Friction. Friction causes heat. Rabbeinu Zal says, to the extent that a person speeds up the brain, to the extent that a person's brain starts working faster and more powerful, that's where the Hislavus HaLev comes from. Because the Lev is Bina. The brain is Chochma. Chochma feeds to Bina. Bina doesn't feed Chochma. Chochma feeds Bina, in a sense. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says over there, that if a person is looking for Hislavus, the more you learn, the more Torah you learn, and the better, the higher quality Torah you learn, that'll turn up the Hislavus Miolev. Kifi Tnuas HaSechel, based on the amount of movement of your brain, the Iker Chamimas Tikdush is through Tnuas HaSechel. You understand? So therefore, Rav Nosson Zal saying here again that the tzaddik doesn't feed his Talmidim. This tzaddik emes doesn't give out Johnny Walker. He doesn't make funny jokes. He feeds them a level of Torah He gives them a type of Torah which expands the Moyach to such an unbelievable level that it shoots fire into the heart. That when this guy gets up to daven, his davening isn't, it's not frozen food anymore. It's fire, real, real fire. V'zehu, this is why it says over there, V'hoya b'chol, we're finished. Still have a little more. V'hoya b'chol yecham hatzoin hamekusharois, u'pirish rashi habechoirois, v'som yakoi v'samakois. Ah, now he's going into a whole different discussion. Maybe we should leave this, because now he's going to talk about the two different types of sheep there. Yaakov Avinu was breeding sheep, and he wanted to breed strong. He wanted the stronger ones for himself and the junk for Lavan. He took the stronger sheep for himself and the weaker ones for Lavan. We're going to see here how he knew who was stronger, who was weaker, and how, which ones he took for himself and which ones he left for Lavan. Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue with this tomorrow.